So who's ready to have some fun tonight? Is anybody excited about Jesus tonight? I said, is anybody excited about Jesus tonight? Because we're going to throw a party tonight. You know, it's interesting that it's so hot in here because my message has a lot to do with water. And, you know, this is my only bottle to preach with tonight, so, and it's almost gone. It's pretty hot in here. So tithe water bottles. No. You know, when I was listening to that rap, that was really good. And that I want to just kick it back old school real quick. You know, I was walking back to get my water, and Vaughn stopped me. He said, oh, do you think you can do that? And I was like, can I do that? Come on, man. Can I do that? So we're going to kick it back old school real quick, all right? Who's ready? Anybody ready? In West Philadelphia, born and raised on a playground is where I spend most of my days. Chilling all max and relaxing all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys, they were up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Berlin. Don't you know we're in the house of the Lord tonight, brother? We don't allow the Fresh Prince in here. Oh, seriously, who's excited tonight? Because I got a message on my heart tonight, and I know some of you guys probably saw the flyer, and my topic for tonight is broken vessels. And, you know, it's not the typical broken vessel that you're thinking of the person outside in the world, and when they come to Jesus, Jesus puts their life back together, and they're all nice and pretty again. No, that's not the broken vessel that I'm going to be talking about tonight. But before I even start tonight, this is what I want to say. A lot when I was leading this youth group, I gave this analogy. Well, first off, what I'd like to do is thank Pastor Vaughn for allowing me to speak tonight, and also Chris and Carrie. Thanks for this, man. I love you guys. It's pretty cool what's going on here. But what I want to do first is when I initially would talk to the youth group, this is what I would say. Whatever you're expecting tonight is what you're going to get. You know, I really like baseball, so the first thing that comes into my mind a lot of times is a couple years back, there was a guy named Mark McGwire and another guy named Sammy Sosa, and they were going back and forth for who's going to break the home run record. That there was 61 home runs was the bar that was set, and they were going back and forth. It was one would hit 59, then the next one would hit 60. And then the other one hit 60. And then they break the record. Mark McGwire broke the record first. And it just went back and forth all the way up to Mark McGwire hitting 70. You know, but what I would like to relate tonight to is is those guys. You think every time that they stepped up in the batter's box, they were like, all right, you know, Lord, if it be your will, Father, I'll hit this home run tonight. If it be your will for me to beat Sammy Sosa, then let him throw me a meatball and let me just crush it. But if not, I'll understand because, you know, it's just a game anyway. It's not really that important. I'm sure that was their attitude. Or was their attitude when they stepped in that batter's box? I don't care what this pitcher throws at me. I don't care if it's a curveball, slider, fastball. I don't care if he tries to hit me in the head. This guy has got nothing on what I know I have inside of me. And what I have inside of me, that when I swing that bat, I'm going to crush that thing. And I don't care what it is he throws at me, I'm going to crush it. So tonight, it was that anticipation that they had inside them when they stepped in the box. It was that anticipation that drove them. It was their anticipation of having their name written in the record book. It was the anticipation of the clap, of the slap on their back, of the great job. It was the anticipation that brought on all those home runs, not the, will it be your will, Lord. Tonight, I want you to sit on the edge of your seat. Tonight, I want you to hear with your ears. I want you to come here tonight with an anticipation that you're going to meet the God who's inside of you. An anticipation of you're going to rise up to the challenge. An anticipation that it has nothing to do with the person sitting next to you and it's all about you. The anticipation that he's going to touch you tonight. Amen? So if you would turn with your... Turn me into a Bible. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4:7. And this is where we're going to start tonight. everybody ready? All right, here it comes. Verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." So I want us to think right now. We're going to be coming back to that. I want you to think right now about a jar of clay, any kind of a vessel, right? All right, let's say this water bottle here, this is a vessel. What's a vessel for? What does a vessel do? It contains, it holds. Can you fill up a vessel? Can a vessel overflow? Can you put a cap on a vessel? Can a vessel get set on a shelf and left there? So if we're going back to these Bible times here, it says, "But we have these treasures in jars of clay." So let's think about clay for a second. What's the process clay goes through before it's a vessel that can do anything? Well, that's not the first thing. The very first thing is it's in there. It's in the mud. It's in the river. It's getting worked around by all the water, and it's getting a little sloppy. And it gets used to that after a while, right? You know, everyone gets used to their environment that they're in. And then you have the guy that comes and tears it out of the mud and brings it. So what do you think is going through that clay's mind right this time? He's like, "What on earth is going on?" I know, all right, everybody's looking at me like, "Clay can't talk, Bob. Clay doesn't have a mind. Clay doesn't know what's going on. It's just a sack of mud." But everybody, let's just open up our minds a little bit here and say, for instance, okay, here we go. Let's start over. So what's the first thing? No. Here we go. All right, so the clay's in the guy's hand, right? Then the clay comes and it has to be cleaned. It has to have all the muck and nastiness cleaned off of it, right? And then it goes into the potter's hands. And the potter puts it on his table and begins to shape it. Well, let's let the word of God speak for itself on this one. In Jeremiah 18, I'm not going to have you turn there. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from..." Sorry, there's a typo there. "This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working on the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was merry in his hands." Now the word merry means to inflict damage, especially disfiguring or damage, to impair the soundness, perfection, or the integrity of. Where are we? "It was merry in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this does, as he does with the potter? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so you are in my hands, O house of Israel.'" So we see here that, you know, you got your clay, and he's beginning to mold it, right? And, you know, when we think about God's will for our lives, we think, you know, I know we've heard this a lot over the last 12 months, about God's A and B plan. We're all on God's A plan, amen? That means nothing you ever do is going to just throw you off of the will of God, amen? Nothing you ever do, amen? Because let's look at that verse again. It says, "Even though the clay was as merry in his hands, he reshaped it to be useful." How many people have been reshaped in here tonight? I know I've been reshaped. I'm continually being reshapen. All right, so we have our vessel, right? What are some things that you can put in vessels? Vessels. Somebody shout it out. Come on. Okay, what's in this vessel? Oh, wow, we're breaking it down now, aren't we? Okay, we got water in this. And where does this water come from? Did somebody go in their backyard and scoop this water out of a puddle? Come on, guys. What's going on? Come on, it's not school tonight. So where did this water come from? Came from Poland Spring. No, it came from Nestle. Okay, so we think about water, and we think about where water comes from. All right, now let's compare this to the spiritual real quick. You know, we were singing a song tonight. Where is it? I wrote it down here somewhere. Oh, Mighty to Save. Can you throw Mighty to Save up real quick? The bridge. I believe. Is everybody all right? We're doing okay? No, not that part. Nope, not that part either. Where are we? Oh, here it is. All my fears and failures fill my life again. When we think about water, leave that up for a second. Fill my life again. What kind of a God are you serving that he has to come and fill your life again? Are you serving a puddle God? Where there's a puddle, you know, you think about water, the rain comes down and fills up holes in the ground, right? And puddles are there. Do you want to be the kind of Christian that walks through a puddle that serves a puddle God, that goes up and scoops the water out of the puddle and drinks some muddy water, and then the next time you come to that hole, it's empty? Because the things of this life, the heat of the next day, comes and dries that puddle up. Is that the kind of God you want to serve? What we're going to talk about now, think about that puddle. And what I believe we're called to as Christians is to not live off someone else's faith. It says, work out your own salvation. David couldn't use Saul's armor. So guess what? You can't run off my faith. You can't run off my experience with God. You can't run off of my water system. You can't run off of what I have in my house stored up. That's not going to get you anywhere, because when I go, my water goes with me. And what does that leave you with? Leaves you with your puddle. So how do you get water? In this day and age, how do you get water? We're talking about the United States of America. We're not talking about Africa, where they go and walk 300,000 miles and carry it back in their head. We're talking about USA. A reservoir, okay. But let's bring it home. How do you get water? Your faucet. And what's in your yard? A well. There's a well that's in your yard that brings the water into your house. And how do you dig a well? You don't, because you don't dig a well. Somebody comes to your house with a truck and digs it for you. Guess what? In Christianity, nobody's going to build your well for you. You got to build your own well. And think about it. All right. Say nobody comes and builds your well for you. Now how are you going to get to that water? There's water that runs under the earth that we tap into, and that's what brings up to the top, and then we have it flowing into our houses, right? This is true, right? I'm not telling lies tonight. I'm speaking all truth. I hope. Jesus. All right, so let's go back. We have the water in the well, right? How do we build a well? We get a shovel. We start to dig. How many people know water's way down? How many people know there's not just sand and you just throw the sand out of the way and then you hit the water and everything's hunky-dory? You got to get a pickaxe. You got to get yourself a little dirty. You got to get yourself a digging bar for those rocks that are in there. You're going to smash that. You're probably going to hit your foot a few times while you're trying. You're going to keep digging, you're going to keep digging, you're going to keep digging. Then you're going to hit rock. You're going to hit solid rock. When you're digging a well, it's hard work. There's blood involved, there's sweat, there's tears to get to that water. Now Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. If you have the NIV version, it says streams of living water. But I think that's a little bit weak compared to rivers of living water. How many people know that when you throw something in a stream, you can see it floating on the top and you can watch it for a while? Most times you can walk next to it and just watch it floating like a rubber ducky or something like that. Right? Right? With a stream, most times, that's what happens. But when you throw something in a river, that thing is gone. Especially the way the Esopus is right now. All flowing up over the banks and everything. Oh, we know a little bit about water in this church, amen? We know a little bit about what happens when water spills over banks in this church. All right, so we know the awesome power that a river contains. All right, so there's water that runs, there's water that runs under the ground. He said, I'll make rivers of living water flow out of you. But how do you get to it? How do you turn that spigot on and let it flow through you? It's a secret place. It's time with God. David talked tonight about the still small voice of God. If you've never heard the still small voice of God, how do you expect to hear it when you're with your friends? How do you expect to hear it for the first time when you're standing out here and everybody's screaming around you? There's a time when you go, Jesus did it multiple times. We learned this from Andy Elms, where he would go and be away from everyone, where he was driven into the wilderness to seek God, to be with his father, to get that quiet time with God. And that's when he started digging his well. He was digging that well. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. In our society, we want everything instantly. We want somebody else to come and dig our well for us. Guess what? Pastor Vaughn's well isn't your well. Guess what? Chris's well is not your well. Your parents' well is not your well. As soon as they're gone, you're stuck with nothing. Unless you pick up a shovel and start digging now. If you're coming to revival meetings, if you're coming to church service for a goosebump, then what's the point? If you're coming to get some water thrown on you and there's no digging of a well, what's going on with that? Some of us are all right with just coming to church and getting our spiritual goosebump and then going home and, you know, God, I really want to serve you. I really want to surrender everything I have to you, Lord. And you take your shovel out and you scoop one shovel and you scoop a little bit more and dink, you hit a rock. So the shovel goes back in the shed and it fills up. And you come and you take a few drinks of what's there. Oh, man, that feels good. It feels great for about 2 days until it's empty, until there's nothing there. And then where's God? You know, God, I thought we were really going through this time. I really thought. But your well's dry because you stopped digging it. Somebody else is not going to fill your well for you. You have to dig your own well. Guess what? A well is not as easy as a pop-up tent. This day and age, you can take a tent and go like that, and you can go to sleep. There's your tent. It's all ready to go. Pops right out. Guess what? You can't take a shovel and go like that and have a well. It takes hard work. It takes blood. It takes sweat. It takes tears. Amen? All right, so we've gotten through the puddle. All right, so we got a couple other Christians that'll go and they'll dig, 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 and they'll dig themselves a little pond. So a pond's better than a puddle, amen? A pond's better than a puddle. But what's the difference between, I'm gonna speed this up a little bit because I don't want to take all night to explain this. So you got your puddle, you have your pond, you have your lake. What do all those contain? Water, right? They contain water. They don't do anything with it. It sits there. And what happens when water sits for a long time? It gets stagnant. Stuff begins to grow in it. So you can be sitting there, and you have your pond at home, but you don't want to go to church anymore. You don't want anything. You have your little pond dug. You think you're good. And the enemy creeps in, starts taking over it. The water is no good to drink anymore. And then you hear someone else come and give a word that really hits your spirit, and the water begins to flow into that pond again. But because of how long you've been out of it, the water creeps up over the banks and spills out on everyone else. And what do you hear? You hear the, well, I don't believe that, blah, blah, blah. Truth is coming into you, but because of how long you sat and how stagnant you are, everything spills out on everyone else around you. Well, I don't know if he's hearing from God. I don't know if this is real. This might be the devil. Until you're continually washed out. Jesus can come and he can throw some spiritual bleach in there. He can kill everything that's in there in one shot. But I think it's better if we come and we dig a well. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But what's under there isn't still water. There's a river. There's a river underground that when I was in Africa, we were there where they were drilling the well for overland missions. And, you know, they went and drilled in one spot, and they just kept drilling and kept drilling and kept drilling for an entire day and hit no water. So they moved on, and they started drilling somewhere else. They kept drilling and kept drilling and kept drilling. And how many people know that the water in Africa isn't the best to drink? You can't exactly go there and take your little vessel and just scoop out a slug of any old water and slam it down and think you're going to be all right. But the water that they hit was water that was underground, that's all purified because how much rock and everything it has to go through. And that water shot out of there like a geyser. And you could take your vessel and you could fill that water up real quick and chug it right down. And it was ice cold. And it was pure because it had gone through the purifying process of all the rock. But to get there has to be that digging. There has to be that constant digging, constant pounding, 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 pounding. Well, this isn't working. Let me change the way I think and move over here and see if I can dig, 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 dig until I hit that stream of living water and I can take that drink. Out of you will flow streams of living water. There's a river that's flowing, and as we said, if you throw something into a river, it's gone. It's being washed away. It's completely changed to wherever that river is going, right? You can't throw a stick in the water and it'll swim over the side and hop out. That doesn't happen. And a lot of times people, when they fall in, get sucked under by the undertow and they die. You think, oh, okay, a person would be able to swim out. A duck would be able to swim out. A lot of times they can't. It's so strong. And, you know, a lot of us are teenagers in here tonight. And, you know, we want to focus on the parts of the Bible that say, He'll give me the desires of my heart. Ask anything in my name and it'll be done for you. Ask His mountain to be thrown into the water and it'll be done. There's a stream of living water inside of you that you need to tap into. And you need to figure out where that stream's going and follow that river. Because what He meant when He said that was, when you're in my will, when you're in my river going where I'm taking you, He also said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because of the desires of your heart now become the desires of His heart. We all want to say, we all want to come to church and do a few prayers and go home. And, you know, the Bible says that if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, I'll get it. You know, Jesus, I want a new Ferrari tomorrow, please. Thanks. And we go to sleep. And when we wake up the next morning and walk out, it's not there. We don't trust God anymore. We want to point fingers. Oh, God said in His word. How about we read a little bit more of the Bible and find out what kind of context He was using that in? There's a river inside of you that's flowing, and it goes wherever it wants to, and you're a part of that. You're a part of that if you choose to get wet, if you choose to get in. In Psalm 45, this is my favorite verse. I use it a lot of times leading worship because I love this verse. It says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. As I recite my verses for the king, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. In the Message Bible, it reads this, my heart bursts its banks, spilling beauty and goodness. I pour it out in a poem to the king, shaping the river into words. There is a river on the inside of you. We need to tap into it. How do we do that? We start digging. We dig ourselves a well. We dig ourselves a well, and we go there. We go in our secret place, and we seek Him. Till we can hear that still small voice. We go there. It doesn't matter. Okay, your friends are going to the diner. Big deal. Your friends are going to be your friends for probably about 10 years unless you really push. We're all teenagers here, right? A lot of us are young adults here. Let's be real. The friends you have right now will not be your friends 15 years from now. Will not be your friends a year from now, maybe, some of them. But guess what? He's there forever. So where are you digging your well? Are you digging your well with people that are going to let you down? Are you digging your well with your friends and just going hanging out with them in their secret place and this and that? Or are you seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Because guess what? He dug a well for you. It's not a one-way relationship. There's blood, sweat, and tears to dig a well. And guess what? There was blood, sweat, and tears when He was nailed to that cross to make it so that you could come to Him. There was blood, sweat, and tears when He cried out and was forsaken by His Father. There was blood, sweat, and tears when He did the act that brought you in relationship with Him. But it's a one-sided relationship in our culture. It's one-sided because we dig a puddle and then we walk away. And then we wonder where God is. Instead of listening to that still small voice, finding that still small voice, getting our hands dirty, getting it done, getting in the ground and digging, 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 until you can hear that water. You know what? You can find out where water is. You can find out where water is by taking two sticks. All right, we don't have two sticks. You can find out where water is. They taught us this in Africa, too. You can find where water is by taking two sticks.
And you hold them like this. You hold them out like this. And you walk where you think the line of water is. And when you hit a spot where there's a lot of rivers coming together, the sticks go like this. Find a spot. That's where you need to be digging. Not over here. Not where the world's telling you to go. Not where
Not where Eminem's telling you to go. Not where JCPenney's telling you to go. Not where your mom's telling you to go. There's a difference between honoring and being 100% obedient. I'm not going to touch that. That's a little sticky tonight. All right, so you got your sticks. This is where I'm digging. This is where I can get away from it all. This is where I can get away from every voice, every outside voice that's hindering me. Let me take out my iPod. Let me sit down. Guess what? The enemy's got so many tricks up his sleeve. He'll use anything and everything to keep you away. But you know what else is true? Your friends, the people around you, even fellow church members, do a better job at the devil. Do the devil's job better than he does it himself. He's called the accuser of the brethren, is he not? And you know how many times I hear Joe Schmo over here talking about this guy over here or that guy over there, and oh, he'll never do anything. He'll never change. He'll always be the same way. There was a time in my life, I sound like I'm so old, right? But I must be, because, you know, I feel young at this church, because guess what? We had a youth service at our church yesterday, and I had nothing to do with it. I was like, man, is it because I'm bald? Is it because I have a child? You know, I sat there, and I was like, you know what? The worship leader is older than I am. The worship leader at this youth night's older than I am, but I'm not considered a youth anymore. I was like, man, I'm going to have to go get me some Rogaine. Where was I before that? The sticks. I was out in the sticks. Okay, the accuser of the brethren. So you need to find a spot where you can shut up the accuser of the brethren, whether it be the devil, whether it be your friends. You need to find a place where you can go, where you can shut that up. And that means, yes, turning off your cell phone. That means turning off your BlackBerry. That means turning off your Blueberry, your Raspberry, whatever kind of berry you've got. You need to turn that off. And you need to just sit down and you need to get in that place where you know you can hear God and start digging. Start looking for it. Start looking for that spot where you know you can be alone. I know everybody knows they have a spot where they can get away when they don't want to think about anything. When you just had a fight with your boyfriend, when you just had a fight with your girlfriend, when you just had a fight with your parents and you just want to get alone. We all have those spots, but we go there and we let the accuser of the brethren run through our mind instead. Instead of washing our mind with Christ, we're sitting there washing our mind with, oh, well, I'll show them. They don't know me. They don't know anything about me. Newsflash for you. When you say that about your parents, yes, they do. They know everything about you. My brother one time came up to me, and we had just gotten in an argument. My brother, he was 16 years old, I think, at this time. And we just got in this argument, and he pushes me. He goes, yo, you don't know me. I was like, dude, come on. We sleep in the same room. I pick up your underwear. I know you, all right? I smell you. I know that you snore at night. I know how many times you get up to go to the bathroom. I know you, okay? Yo, you did not know me, son. We say the stupidest things sometimes when we're deceived. You do not know me. So you need to find that place where you can get close to God. You need to find that spot where you can start digging. It's going to be a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get there. You think Steve, you think Vaughn, you think of any man of God you can think of that has this awesome ministry that you want to relate to, or you want to try to shape yourself after, or any of that. You think they got there by digging a puddle here and there, taking a couple puddles and digging here, digging there, digging everywhere, and expecting to get somewhere in their life? Us as Christians, we just want to get goosebumps and get tickled and get a little wet. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Come on, opens prison doors, set the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me. that life abundantly, as long as I don't have to do a thing to get there or get up a shovel or get my hands dirty or do anything that might cause me to be out of place. I want all the benefits. I don't want to have to do any work. These signs will follow those that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many people are pulling people out of wheelchairs? If you pulled somebody out of a wheelchair and they walk, please raise your hand. We need to start digging. We need to stop going back to the same pool all the time and drinking it. We need to start digging. We need to start drilling in that ground. Here's what Webster says about a well. A well is a bore, drill, driven, or dug excavation, utilized for the purpose of extracting groundwater. You're going to get dirty when you bore, drill, or dig, or excavate to get what you want. Things are going to fall out of your life. You're going to lose some of your friends. But is it worth sacrificing the friends you have now to be with the friend that's forever? To be washed with the water that he wants you in? The river that he wants to take you in? We all want to drink, but we don't want to do any work to get it. We want an instant society where we can walk up and just push a button and then we have our water. We want a church where we can come here and raise our hands and fall down and walk away, and, you know, the next day we're out pulling people out of wheelchairs. That's not going to happen. It's going to happen when you start digging, when you start getting dirty for yourself, when you start going on 40-day fasts, when you start fasting. I really like that verse that David started us off with. Where was that, by the way? Vaughn laughs. What was it? Isaiah 58. He says, this is a fast that I have chosen. Sometimes we need to choose so we can get where we want to be. Sometimes there's hard decisions that have to be made. Sometimes there's friends. Sometimes there's girlfriends. There's getting away of the accuser of the brethren. When I was younger, I haven't always been as awesome as I am now. I haven't always walked and where I walk, flowers come up out of the ground and the birds sing. And you know who's going to tell you most of all? These two sitting right here. we got some of my old friends here. Old friends. Friends from when I was younger. That's what I meant by old friends. They could tell you who I was. And there was a lot of times when I made wrong decisions, you know, when I was 15, see, we're going to start to learn a little bit about the old me tonight. A lot of people don't know about. Real quick, because you know what? Old school. Eddie Coe said something, and Brian said it again last night. When we give a testimony, when you come up here and you give your testimony about who you were and where you've been, you're giving two people praise. You're either giving Jesus praise or what he's brought you out of or what he saved you from, or you're giving the devil praise. How many people are sitting in church, they've been a Christian their whole life, and they're like, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. No, you don't. No, you do not wish you had a testimony like that. Jay, do they wish they had a testimony? Don, do they wish they had a testimony? You know what a testimony is? I grew up in church my whole life. I grew up in church my whole life, and Jesus saved me from everything I could have been, should have been. So I'm not going to bring up that old man. Because guess what? Every time you identify with your old nature, when you identify with who you were and not who Christ made you to be, that's called necromancy. That's the form of black magic of someone being able to speak with the dead. Every time you identify with your old nature, you're committing black magic. And guess what? It says they won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. When you're identifying with your flesh more than you're identifying with the man who lives inside of you, with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that formed the earth, the same power that said, let there be, and there was. I don't know about you, I don't have no power to say, let there be, and there was. Guess what? The day that I can say, let this turn into a rooster, and it does, I'll stop digging. I will put my shovel away. But until that day, I will continually keep digging. Because like I said before, they dug two wells when I was over there in Overland Missions. And the first one, guess what? They hit water. Oh, yeah, they hit water. But the guy who's been digging wells for the last however long it was said, yeah, you hit water, but it's not the river yet. You didn't hit the river. What you hit was the top layer of the rock where water trickles through. Some of us get comfortable there, too. We can lay hands on somebody and they get healed. Woohoo! I'm good with that. I want the river that just keeps flowing, that just keeps blowing my mind. You know, Steve says a lot that it surprises him more than anything when somebody falls down under his ministry and gets healed. I want that kind of river that when it hits me, I don't know what the heck happened. Where I can go spinning backflips and wake up in another country because I just got pushed by this river somewhere and I wake up and goes, whoa, what was that? I don't want no familiar little trickle of, oh, yes, Jesus, that just feels amazing. Oh, thank you, Lord. This just feels so good right now. I can feel my toes getting wet, and it is awesome. But a lot of us live in that. A lot of us are content with that. Can I make a suggestion? I know I'm not on the worship team anymore. Can you put up Rain Down? Put up the chorus. All right, let's look at this third line. Rain down, my heart is dry, but still I'm singing. Why is your heart dry? Excuse me, why is your heart dry? If you're digging a well and out of your belly is going to flow a stream of living water, guess what? When that water hits the end of a pipe, it goes everywhere. I want to lay down and let the rain down on me. I want to let the rain down on me. I don't want my heart to still be dry. We've been singing this song for how long? If your heart is still dry, there's something wrong. When I sing this song at our church, it's, my heart was dry, but still I'm singing Rain Down. How many people know when you're sitting in a pool and you're at one of these cool amusement parks, when you're all wet to begin with, and then you see one of those waterfalls, you got to go and stand underneath it. My heart was dry, but still I'm singing Bring It On. It was dry, I'm sopping wet, and I still want more Bring It On. My heart was dry, but still I'm singing Rain Down. Just a little tidbit, sorry. Don't anybody get excited or anything. I'd hate that to happen. All right, I got a little demonstration I want to show you guys real quick. Am I doing all right on time, Chris? Just come snatch the mic away from me when you're ready for me to stop. Ooh, talking about water tonight. We're talking about water tonight, and we're talking about vessels tonight. All right. So how many people here know that he lives inside of you? That the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you when you ask him to be there? And we were just talking a little while ago about how, you know, vessels, sometimes they go through a lot. Sometimes they get dropped. You know, my mom, I don't know if she's watching, I doubt it, but my mom has some pieces of pottery, and we do in my house too, that's scary, that have fallen and broken, and we've glued them back together and stick them back on the shelf. Guess what? That's not going to hold water as well. But there's breaking experiences in your life. Because if you know you have it all, then you need to be broken. You can see a stallion out in the pasture, a free wild stallion out in the pasture, and it has all this beauty, all this power, but there's nothing to harness it. It just runs around, tearing up whatever it wants, eating whatever it wants. There's nothing that harnesses it. There's freedom in being broken. There's freedom in being broken. Because it's not until you get to a point where you're broken that you begin to take your eyes off you and begin to look at him. When you stop thinking about your desires and start thinking about his desires, when you start asking what you will and it'll be done for you, because it's no longer about you. It's about wherever the master wants to bring you. So we have different kind of vessels. Hold on one sec. I'll be right back. We have vessels that have head knowledge. And when we get all the, you know, it'll last a while, and then your head knowledge is gone, and you're not helping anybody anymore, because there's no water flowing out of you, because all you had was head knowledge. You don't need head knowledge. You need a revelation. You need a revelation of who Jesus is. You need it to soak the very inside of you. You need to ooze Jesus out of you. Bill Johnson says this a lot. He says you need to ooze Jesus. You need to change the atmosphere of a place when you walk into it. You know, when there's just a little bit of head knowledge, just there's a little bit of water. It trickles out of there. When it's under pressure, it can, but it's no free flowing. When there's a little bit of pressure applied, it's squeezing out of there, right? Just a little trickle, because all you got is head knowledge. That's not a heart revelation. But you know what Jesus wants to do to you? Anybody know?
He wants to get rid of this thing you got on here. Guess what this can be? This thing right here? This can be your belief system. This can be the things that were said about you as a child. This can be anything that's keeping you from taking your lid off and sharing. Oh no, they won't listen to me. They won't listen to me. Who am I? Who am I? I don't even have a testimony. I was raised in church my whole life. I don't have a testimony. No, I won't go out on the streets because I got nothing to give. You got to get rid of this thing. Because until you get rid of this thing, all it's going to be is a little squirt outside. The Jesus that you preach, that's all it's going to be is a little trickle. Does this feel good? Yeah, thank you, Bob. Does that feel good? Is this what you want? When you go in the shower, you turn on the shower, is this what you want? When the world has thrown you around, when the world has beat you to death, when there's been things I've said about you that have cursed your life, is this what you need? Is this what you need is a little trickle? Is a little, oh, Jesus loves you, brother. Or do you need somebody that's going to go out there and take their cap off? We got another one. Sorry about the car clip, Pastor Paul.
Yeah, wait till next Sunday. That won't be nothing. Now, I'm not saying don't use wisdom, because there's only so much certain people can take. When you plant a seed, you know, that, I'm not saying going out there and saying Jesus loves you is just a little trickle. It's getting you out of your comfort zone, taking off the lid, and sharing what you have. You know more about Jesus the day you came to him than the person out there on the street smoking crack. You know, I think a lot of us take for granted the Jesus that we do know. Think about that statement. You take for granted the Jesus that you know. Because you can't open up your mouth and say Jesus loves you to somebody. You're taking what he did for granted. What he did on that cross, when he made that relationship, when he was nailed to that cross, when he gave up the blood, sweat, and tears to be there for them. and you're too scared to open your lid because it might get dirty. Pop that stinking thing. Pop that stinking thing. And if all you can do is walk down the street and say, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. Let me buy you a tank of gas. That's how it starts. That's how your well starts being dug. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. He died for you. That's a little bit more scooped out of the ground. Not all of us are going to start with...
Excuse me, everyone in the mall. I just have an announcement to make here real quick. The Savior of the world
is here tonight. Not all of us are going to start that way. But guess what? Some of us do. Because some of us realize the power that's inside of us instantly. You know Susie? How many people here know Susie? That that girl was dead, and she's alive again. Guess what? Each and every one of you are dead, and you're alive again. You have just as much a story to tell as she does. You have just as much a story, because you were dead, and you're alive again. That's your testimony. That's you with Jesus. That's your testimony of Jesus. I once was dead, and I'm alive again. I once was blind, and now I can see. Just because you weren't dead in the physical body doesn't mean you weren't dead. You can still be alive. You are alive. But she took off like a rocket ship. She'll walk up to somebody she doesn't know. She'll walk up to some crackhead on Broadway in Newburgh at 11:30 at night. Okay, we might need to use some wisdom with that, but walks up to him. Hey, man, let me tell you about this party. Let me tell you about this party I'm going to. You should come. Immediately, that strikes their interest. All right, some crazy white girl's coming up to me, talking to me about a party. You know, this could be pretty cool. And by the end of the conversation, she's telling them, you know what, Jesus died for you. We have a party going on at our church down there. It's called a revival meeting. You need to come in there and be blessed. Because there's a Savior of the world who died for you. And he loves you so much. You know, they were out on the streets the other day, and Susie's been down there so much that there's this big guy, I don't know his name, but every single person that's evangelizing out of the church knows his name. And they got him in on it. He's not a Christian. He's just one of the normal people that they see him walking down the street. They're like, oh, God, here comes the crazy Jesus freaks again. But they got him in on it the other day because we had flyers for our revival we were having in Newburgh. And I think it was Cher. She hands him the flyers, and she goes, hey, just hold these for a second. And she starts doing something else. And she's like, yeah, why don't tell a few people why you're doing that. And she's doing something else. This guy, he's not a Christian. He doesn't know nothing about nothing except some crazy Jesus freak just handing him a paper. And the next person that walks by, hey, man, there's this party going on at this church down at 7 o'clock, and you can be a part of it. He's already evangelizing. He's not even a Christian yet. So you've been a Christian for 40 years, 15 years, 11 years, one day. You have it inside of you. If you got the same power inside of you that raised him from the dead, the same power that can break the yoke, that can set the captive free inside of you, we need to start popping that cork and using it. We need to start saturating those around us. We need to start changing the atmosphere when we walk into a place, not giving somebody a spiritual goosebump. And guess what? Here's another thing I want to just say real quick on the same lines of digging your own well. Guess what? Like I said in the beginning, Vaughn's story is not your story. Chris' story is not your story. It's not your well. Guess what? That's not your voice either. That's their voice. This is one thing that me and Eddie Coe were talking about the other day. The difference between a voice and an echo. When you're standing in a cavern and you yell, there's an echo. What do you want to be? Do you want to become someone so badly that you're willing to be an echo? Or are you going to use the voice that God gave you, the talents he gave you? Now, I'm not saying discipleship is a bad thing. It's not. Without discipleship, who knows where I would be? Because I had some things beaten out of my life. And I was put in a pathway to get where I am now. When you're digging, it doesn't seem nice at the time. That's when the, you don't know me's come out. You don't know me. No, but I know who you are because I can see your spirit and I can see your heart and I know who you could be. Do you think I was thinking when I was going through stuff, when Elaine came up to me about I don't know, 12, 13 years old. You know, I think you need to step down from the worship team until you get your heart right. You think I was thinking at that time where I would be now? No, I was off in La La Land. I was off in the, oh, man, that means I can't play my guitar up there that I can't even play anyway because I only know about half of one chord. And I'm only up there because you know, those girls in the back there, they're looking pretty good. And if I put on a good enough show, you know, they might be attracted to me. That's what was going through my mind. But they see the end. The person that's training you sees the end. They see your potential. They see where you could be. They don't see your little La La Land fantasy. They see where you could be. Sometimes we need to be kicked down off of our high horse and be broken so that we can move on and be effective. And you're not going to like it at the time. When you're building your house and you smack yourself in the hand with a hammer, it doesn't feel nice. Guess what? It's not something that's going to be imparted to you overnight either. I had a guy that was working with me, and this is going to be funny. He came up to me one day, he was feeling pretty down for whatever reason. And I walked over, I was like, hey, man, you all right? He's like, yeah, man, could you do me a favor real quick? I was like, sure, man, what's that? He's like, could you lay your hands on me and import that gift of carpentry to me? Can you lay your hands on me and impart that spirit of carpentry to me? Guess what? There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that made me who I am today, and I keep looking on. I'm no, compared to like Josh and these guys, I'm no carpenter. But compared to Joe Schmo laying some mud on the ground, calling it good enough and walking away, nobody sees it from my house. You know what? Nobody sees it from my house. Let's wait till the check clears. The building can fall down for all I care. Yeah, I'm a carpenter to those kind of people. And any of my clients that might be watching, I'm pretty halfway decent, all right? But, you know, I judge myself a lot of times. I judge my own work because I know it's not where it should be. I know that I've seen greatness in the construction field. I've worked with people that can really get it done. And I strive for that. And there's somebody who lives inside of me that I'm striving to be like. But it takes that practice. Every single time you lay a brick, you get a little bit better at it. Every single time you mix a mortar, you get a little bit butter at it. You get a little butter at it. And we're down south now, boy. We're going to get our yeehaw on in here right quick. Well, I went down to the Grub County auction where I saw something I just had to have. My mind told me I should proceed with caution. My heart said, go ahead, make a bid on that. And I said, hey, pretty little, won't you give me a sign? I give anything you make a mind on mine. All right, now you're starting to see the real Bob in here. I love country music. I'm sorry, I love it. There's something sexy to me about a draw. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I was listening. Let me just tell you this real quick. I'm almost finished. I was listening to a country song the other day, and it's called Southern Hallelujah. And the guy was talking about all these girls in the Southern that are like, oh, man. But he goes like this. In the middle of this country song, he goes, we're about to have us a revival meeting up in here tonight. I just about wet myself, but that was just me. All right, let's wrap this up. Mark 13:4. We're going to talk about the alabaster jar. We're talking about a lot of different kinds of vessels tonight, and a lot of other things. You know, I really hope you leave here with something tonight, more so than Bob wet himself down. This is the woman at the well. No, sorry, it's not. This is the alabaster jar. Verse 3, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. When there's a jar of perfume on a shelf, it's not doing anything for anybody. There's something inside it that smells nice, but it's not doing anything for anybody until you crack that seal, until you break the top off of it. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. It's time to pop the lid. It's time to start doing something for somebody else besides yourself. And if you guys can learn that now, you know, there's a lot of young people in here tonight. There's a lot of old people tonight. I'm talking to everybody. If you can learn that now, it's going to be better off for you down the road. I don't care if you're older than me, 50, 60, 100. It'll be better for you off down the road if you can get over yourself right now. Because we all have a lot of stuff that we need to be broken of, a lot of stuff we need torn out of us. Let's do it now. Let's do it tonight. This is my closing scripture here. And it's Matthew 21:44. He who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, but he who on him it falls, wow, that must be New King or King James, he will be crushed. Guess what? You're going to be broken or crushed. It's your choice. And don't ever say, God, humble me, because there's only one man in the Bible that God humbled, and it was Nebuchadnezzar, and he turned into an animal. You need to humble yourself. You need to break yourself. You need to get with somebody and say, you know what? I know I'm not who I should be, and I know there's something that God put in me, and I know I need to be broken to get at it. There's a sacrifice that we need to make. There's a little bit of something that has to be broken out of us so we can be who we need to be. Because the second part of this verse is scary. It says, if not, the rock will fall on you and you'll be grounded into powder. I don't know about you, but I'd rather a little breaking than being grounded into powder. There's freedom in being broken. There's freedom for the gifts to flow when you've been broken, not when you think you're somebody. Can you just throw up, I am free, real quick? I'm going to close with this. When you tap into what you have inside of you, when you submit to being formed by the potter, cracking the top and letting out what's on the inside of you. This song applies to you. And no, I don't want you to see it. Through you the blind will see. Guess what? Through you the blind will see, and through you the mute will sing, and through you the dead will rise, and through you some guy out there singing, I am free. We need to get out of thinking about ourselves and start thinking about the people that are out there. Thinking about the people that are out there every night, wishing that they wouldn't wake up the next day. I am so thankful I've never been in a place in my life where I would say, you know what, God, I don't want to wake up tomorrow. There's nothing worth living for in this life. There was a guy that gave testimony at Bill Johnson's church again. It was just a guy in Walmart. He goes to Bill Johnson's church, and he said he felt the anointing oil on his hands. So he was walking around looking who to give it away to. He was asking people, are you sick? Are you sick? Are you sick? I don't know about you, when some crazy guy comes up to me with oil dripping off his hands asking if I'm sick. No, I'm fine. No, I'm doing good, thanks. I'm all right. But there was this one guy he went up to that was with a walker. And he said, you know, can I pray for you? God the healer lives inside of me, and he wants to heal you. That guy said, yeah, sure, you can pray for me. I've been to every specialist. I've had my back operated on so many times. I live in constant pain. The last 18 years I've been praying every night when I go to sleep that I won't wake up. And that man got healed. He took his walker and he threw it across the parking lot. But that would have never come unless that one 14, 15, 18-year-old kid hadn't popped his lid and let what he knew was on the inside of him flow out of him. That guy would still be walking around every day of his life asking to die until he met the healer, until he met the Almighty God, until he met the man that lives inside of you that you're putting a cap on, that you're letting sit back while you let your meat box do everything it wants. There's a spirit man inside of you that wants to get out so badly. There is the living God living inside of you. The very power that raised Christ from the dead, the very substance of Jesus dwells in your body and wants out. He's in you. Let him 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 out. If anyone wants prayer tonight to get their lid cracked, let's go. If anyone wants to get broken to some stuff tonight, let's go.